Is here. We're glad to have Brother Shoemake here with us. We're glad to have Brother Huber home with us. Amen. Brother Butler, would you stand back there? We're glad you're here. Brother Butler, would you stand back there? Brother Butler has been very faithful to the annex through the years. That's where he found the Lord. And God has laid his hand upon him. He's been preaching, and I understand he preached in Lakeside Sunday, and they had four get the Holy Ghost. God bless you, Brother Butler. Canada. Man who's crossed the northern borders and walked down through the states to Louisiana and into our hearts. We love him very much, and we love the Lord that's using him. Brother Martin Buster, would you welcome him? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. If he doesn't do one more miracle, we ought to let the rafters ring tonight for what he has done. But he is going to do more miracles. You cannot talk about him without him showing up. On the road to Emmaus, the disciples were talking about the things that had happened about the Messiah they had hoped to be, who was put in a tomb. And while they were talking about him, you see, he'll not be just a tale that is told. He came into their presence out of nowhere, just zap, there he was. They didn't even recognize him. I believe God has been a lot of times in our meetings walking miles and laying hands on people and healing people, and we haven't really recognized it because we're so caught up with trying to go up to bring them down and down to bring them up. We don't even realize that he's there. We just base it on some emotional feeling. You've got to learn to praise God whether you feel your flesh quivering or not. Give him everything you've got. Praise his name. The demons of hell should never have bragged like they did. For that day they thought they had just crucified him and that was the end of them. They shouldn't have had such a celebration and talked about him. For wherever two or three have gathered and are talking about him, he'll be there. He stepped inside the gates of hell. Hallelujah. You cannot keep a good man down. Praise the name of the Lord. He's here tonight in a marvelous way to stretch forth his hand to do many miracles. But I believe that God is going to talk to us for a few moments in a very sober way. And I'm going to read from Daniel, the 11th chapter. And I'm going to read just one verse of Scripture because the message, the exhortation does not require me to go into Daniel's vision of the fall of Rome and everything. I'm just going to read verse number 32 and take my thought from it. And let me tell you how much I appreciate this church. You mean a whole lot to me, and I'm just thrilled to death. And if my father was here, he would say I would be tickled pink that I'm here ministering to you. And I'm going to really let the cat out of the bag now. I prayed in your Saturday night prayer meeting. I said, Jesus, would you allow me to stay here one more week? Now, I know that's not, I know evangelist isn't supposed to say that kind of stuff. But of course, you know that I'm not, you know that I'm appreciating being here, but you also know that I'm not sitting on your doorstep. It's God in the thing. He's been here every night. And but I said, here's the reason why I said it. And I say this, this is not politics. God knows it's not. God, this is coming from my very heart. And I said, because I want these people, the pastors of this church, Brother Anthony and Brother Gerald and Sister Vesta and all of you, Sister Mickey, I pray, God, before I leave here, would you allow me just one more week? And if you will, I promise you, I will be at that church seeking you, that I will receive a portion of their spirit. Because I don't mind telling you that if it's working for someone, I'm going to try it. Elisha probably had a lot of mannerisms of Elijah. And I am a composite of a whole lot of ministries and ministers that I have watched the way they've done things, that I want to have what they've got. And I don't mind telling you that. When you see me, you see a lot of men that put time and prayer in me. And this church, I came to your Messiah. My mother had the privilege of being with us for a couple of months. And we brought her to Messiah Monday night. And it just blew her mind, I'll tell you what. And I can honestly say that my walk with God was enhanced because of seeing Messiah. It really was. I told it to D.W. Burns. I said, I mean that, Brother Burns. I said, my walk with God has been enhanced by seeing the way they portray Christ and everything. And you're doing a great job, and God has some big, big things in store for you. Hallelujah. He's great, isn't he? Thank you for your wonderful words of, you know, that way you've come to me and told me. I don't know how many people have come to me. From the first moment I walked in the doors of this church, several people have come, and they've continued to do it every night. Brother Busher, we're with you. We're behind what you're doing. And I mean, hey, listen, thanks a whole lot, because you have been easy to preach to. And I told Brother Anthony last Sunday night, I said, boy, I'll tell you what, Sunday night I felt the strain. We had the bottom floor was comfortably packed, and a great crowd. And I told him at the end of the night service, I said, your church, boy, if the preacher is not ready, they're going to go over the top of him. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you for allowing me to spit and screech and try to preach, do my little thing for Christ. And I know you're going to help me get into that, aren't you? The message tonight is ill-prepared, but it did come from seeking the Lord diligently. And I know that you people love to hear that kind of fresh stuff from God. So we'll, if all the grammar isn't proper, we're going to go ahead and have a great time in Jesus tonight. Daniel 11 and 32, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Father, anoint the speaker tonight and every ear to hear. And then when we begin to preach, the miraculous power of the Holy Ghost is going to come amongst us.
And I pray, oh God, that you would just turn us inside out, every one of us, Jesus. Thank you for the miracles. Thank you for anointing. Thank you for 3 weeks being at the Pentecost of Alexandria with heaven on earth. That's what it's been. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. The hearts that have been touched and will ring throughout the ages of eternity and the eons of time. Now, God, do it again tonight. We're dependent on you, Jesus. We're dependent on you. Give the Lord a big hand of praise. Be seated. I simply just want to talk to you for a few moments on knowing God. Simply knowing God. They that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. At your because of the time, as Brother T.W. Barnes talked about the day that we lived in, the day that we're facing right now, this is not a call to a Sunday school picnic, it's a call to arms. This is not a place for the weak, because they'll not have their place in battle. They will have to be catered to and carted throughout eternity, and God's not going to have it that way. Somewhere in your walk with God, you're going to have to make up your mind, this is the way is it, and my heart is fixed, I'm going to live for God. God will do whatever He has to do for you to see you make it through them pearly gates, but He's not going to do it, and He has no obligation to do it until you make up your mind, this is it. God does not have any kids that He is partial to and biased to. Although God has used me in the past, although that I have four brothers that preach this great gospel, God has no, He's not required to bless and use me unless my mind is made up. This is it, God, I want everything you have for me. Praise the name of the Lord. Daniel was talking about a day, Daniel's vision, how he stepped into the end time and saw things that were happening. And he saw many people fallen, being because of the great swelling words of the enemy, they were flattered by it. The Bible talks about being sent a strong delusion that they'll believe a lie. The people who have itchy ears are going to believe everything and anything the devil brings for them. But the people that know God, the day we live in, honey, if you're going to make it, you're going to know your God. If you're going to survive this end time, you're going to have to know God for yourself. I heard Brother Verbal Bean one time make a statement. He said, when I was a young man, I would get up and after praying an hour in the morning, it would last me all day. But he said, now that I'm getting up in years, and he was not an old man when he went to be with the Lord. But he said, after being up in years, he said, I find that after an hour of prayer in the morning by noontime, that is dissipated. It's gone. Because of the demons that are released in this day and the evil in our society, he said, I have to pray an hour again at noontime, and then come supper time, he said, it's gone again. And that's the hour that we live in. They that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. I want to say tonight that God still has a cleft in the rock for the person who will say, show me thy glory. After Moses saw the plagues of Egypt, after Moses saw his hand miraculously healed from leprosy, after Moses saw a piece of wood turn into a snake and back to a piece of wood again, after Moses saw God part the Red Sea, after all of this, the healing of the waters and everything, here he still says, God, I've seen the miraculous, I've seen the supernatural, but now I want to see your glory. Paul the Apostle, it's not mentioned just specifically the miracles that he had in his ministry, but he did say, when I come, it's not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Now here is the Hebrew of the Hebrews telling you this now. Here is the man who sat at the feet of Gamaliel of the Sanhedrin Council. An educated man says, I'm laying all that aside. Matter of fact, when I had that experience with God on the road to Damascus, it impacted me so much that all this earthly gain, I count it but loss for the excellency of Christ. And when I come, I'm not coming tried to put on the dog and show you how educated I am, but I am coming in demonstration and power of the Holy Ghost. This man who sought and strove for perfection. This man who every morning he got up and his feet hit the floor. He died 1,000 times a day. This man, after seeing God be with him in shipwreck, peril on land and sea. This man who would pull himself out from underneath the stone heap and stand up the little small stature of his with bumps on his body from being stoned. His back being lacerated. Say, I'm willing to be offered up. I'm willing to go on to Jerusalem. I know there are bonds and imprisonments there, but nothing can stop me. But if he was to walk behind this podium tonight and speak to you, he would not look like our calm ministers would today. Instead, he was slightly humped over because of the lifestyle that he lived without the aid of a Concorde 747 or an ocean liner. But still, he reached his world, his known world. He covered every inch of it in his day. He did not win everybody to God. He looked before Felix and Augustus, Agrippa, and he would say, hey, he said, I would that you were not only as I am. He said, you see the way I am? He said, but he said, you're almost persuaded. He didn't reach everybody in his day, but he gave it the best shot that he had. You're not required to reach 1,000 people for God. Do your best for God is all that is required. God does not expect you to do more than the quota he gives you. But stand up and be counted for God. That's all that matters. I drop the men a lot of times. There's times I make mistakes. I have walked down aisles before and picked people out and made mistakes. But still I've gone back to prayer and had enough men about me to say, God, I'm not going to give up when that which is perfect has come. But if he was to stand here and say, my greatest desire is that I might know him. But Paul, you're the one that's been with him in prison. He's been with you in shipwreck. Hey, you've seen miracles. You've had thousands come to God. You've filled churches. You've been an apostle to all that country. Yes, but I want to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. There's something about knowing God. And tonight, out of the midst of Holy Ghost revival, we don't have to stop having Holy Ghost revival, but let's listen to what the Spirit is saying. For tonight, the deep is calling to the deep. It's not just for the shallow. It's not just for the person that survives on an emotional blessing, but the person when the tears have dried and the flesh is not quivering and they don't feel like shaking and quaking. They don't feel like running through a troop and leaping over a wall. The person that doesn't need to be turned on by the preacher and feeling all ecstatic all the time. And when the lights in this auditorium are shut out, but yet they come into the back part of your old assembly. And I see them in here Saturday night praying. I see them in here before service praying. You hardly hear them saying a word. They just kneel before the prayer benches, tears streaming down their faces. And that's the reason why this meeting has been a success. Honey, I'm not so naive to think I've arrived. I'm not so stupid to think that I possess anything. I know I stutter. I know I stammer, trying to wait for the anointing. But the reason why the anointing is here, I have a church full of people who pray and seek the face of God. And you people that have received miracles in this meeting, you people that have received the Holy Ghost, don't thank me. Thank God, but at the same time, you want to thank God for a caring church whose desire is to know God. The deep is calling to the deep. There is the secret place of the Most High where you can abide under the shadow of the Almighty. But it doesn't come to the frivolity. It doesn't come to the nonchalant. But those that know their God, those that take time to seek God. Hallelujah. God took me apart this afternoon in prayer. I just wept before his presence and it felt so good to weep. Matter of fact, it bothers me sometimes when I, after spending time in prayer, and I don't weep. I'm not saying you got to bawl and cry all the time. I just like it when my heart is soft enough that when he moves, the contrite spirit within me melts before the presence of God. Instead, my heart is not callous, but I can be touched when he moves. And I have to, every now and then, I have to kind of reevaluate myself to see what I'm in this thing for. I've never lived as good as I'm living right now. I've never preached to crowds as big as what I'm preaching to right now. And there's no reason why I shouldn't live better and why the crowd shouldn't get bigger. But at the same time, I want to know God. When I close the Bible from Sunday night service, after praying dozens through, after we called them out by name, after we've seen gross disappear, hey, when I go to the hotel room, I want that desire to be there. Why don't you wait on me a while ago? Hey, this revival has had such a profound effect upon me that the other night I went to go home and go to bed. I couldn't sleep. I was walking through the house, shutting off the lights, and I just suddenly felt the tug of the Spirit. Don't go to bed just yet. Why don't you talk to me for a few moments? That intimate relationship with Christ. I studied the lives of Finney, Spurgeon, and on through to Smith Wigglesworth, Bill Dross, the Pentecost, T.W. Burns. And this one word I would say that would describe their lifestyles. They had an intimacy with Christ that I don't possess. They knew their God. Smith Wigglesworth said, sometimes I don't pray 30 minutes, but more than 30 minutes, but he said, I don't go 30 minutes without praying. Every 30 minutes he bowed his knee to God. When you went to his house to eat, before you ate dinner, you had Bible reading and prayer. After you get through the main course, before dessert time, you had Bible reading and prayer. After you finished the dessert and put the teacup back in the saucer, you knelt down and had prayer and Bible reading. I'm talking about knowing God. It's no wonder the man didn't never lose a cancer patient. It's no wonder the man can look at a man without limbs and say, go buy yourself a new pair of shoes. And when the man got the new shoes on, he had new legs and feet and five toes on each of them. It's no wonder that when the man's wife, Polly, died, he walked in and said, woman, I say unto thee, arise. And the cold hand of death took itself off of her. And she looked at him and said, Smith, let me go. It's my time to die. Jesus is beckoning my home. She knew that every time he commanded death to leave, that life would come in its place. And he said, woman, rest in peace. And she laid down back to death again to be with Jesus. It's no wonder why the miracles happened. The man walked and talked with God. His life centered around God. Jesus was the focal center of his life. I don't want all the material gain that's coming my way. I don't want the blessing to rob me of the blesser. Above the gifts, I need the giver. With the healing, I need the healer. I tell you what, honey, I've offered a gift without praying 5 minutes. If you don't mind, I'm going to drop the mask tonight. If you don't mind, I'm going to show you that I'm not super spiritual. I have walked behind pulpits without more than 5 minutes of prayer and called them out by name because that gift has been given to me. But honey, doing that, you're walking an edge, and somewhere you're going to fall. Somewhere you're going to lose everything that God gave you. And I am a young man, 26 years of age, who has not accomplished a whole lot, but I never expected it to go this far. I didn't expect to be where I'm at right this night and preach to who I'm preaching to, but it's only been the graciousness of God. But honey, with all of this blessing, I am so terribly guilty of taking what God has given me for granted, because there are men who would give the right arm to see the kind of move of God that we are having. And I know there are men who are having a great move of God more so than I am. I'm not taking the glory. I'm just simply saying I've got to know God. The day that's coming, you've got to know God for yourself. First of all, I fought the peer pressure. I didn't belong. I was from up north. I just didn't do the things the same way. I wanted to have revival so bad. And my name was virtually unknown, and I just struggled for identity, status symbols and everything, just trying to be hip and put on the dog and be with the crowd. But when I finally passed through that, and then the doors began to open, I found out that adversity killed thousands, but prosperity kills millions. There are more killed in the days of prosperity than adversity. For when I had nothing, when my wife and I were living on $127 a week and not complaining, with the borrowed broken furniture in a basement apartment that we couldn't afford to turn the heat up in the baby's room, and everything was just lonely me for a while. I loved God. He was everything that I had. He would walk with me daily when I would go to his throne. That brokenness that was there, that true humility that was upon me, there was no big evangelist there. There was just little old me that was praying, God, would you open doors? Brother Anthony, I will remember as long as I live the young man who came when I was 13 years of age to New Brunswick, Canada, and preached a youth convention and the power of God flowed through him. And he talked about us having the guts to live for God. I never forgot that. And I learned through that one little line had such a profound effect upon me. Although it's been 14 years later or so, I have not forgot it. So therefore, I have resigned that in my heart, if I can impact people by some little thing I do for God, I'm willing to do it. I thank you for letting me be here. Thank you for letting me pray with you. Thank you for letting me preach to you and you rallying with me. It means a lot to me. But if I can just, with all the unpolished, with all the undeveloped ministry, if I can impact you to know God, God is not anxious to give gifts of the Spirit to a bunch of power-hungry people who don't know what compassion is. God is not wanting to raise up playboys who don't know what dedication is. But to the person that will pay the price, he will choose you. If you dare to step in the fiery furnace, you'll meet God there. If you dare to go down in the lion's den and keep on praying, you'll see God close the mouth of the lions. If you want strength, get down in the ring and fight. If you want to know God, say, where he leads me, I will follow. What he feeds me, I will swallow. Every step of the way, God, it's you and I. But this little preacher tonight has an intense desire. I've got to know God. I've got to know God. Fifteen years of age, I looked and saw my weary mother going to work day by day, 8 hours of hard labor each day on her feet to send me to school. I quit school and went to work myself to try to help things out a bit, you know. But I remember before I had gotten the job in my hometown, I had run away from the hometown. I didn't want to live there no more because, you know, the drugs were so rampant and all kinds of perversion. It was so hard to live for God. No young people in the church. I said, I'm leaving here. So I did. And I walked the streets asking people for a job, and I couldn't get one. There was no way I could, but I never forget it. God was dealing with me to go back home to witness where I had come from, to live for God and show them that I could be a product of the grace of God even in that town, in that situation. And right before I went back, while God was dealing with me, I went to my brother's church in St. John, New Brunswick, Canada. I had a dime and a nickel in my pocket, which was everything that I had. And I know that you've heard stories of preachers doing this, and I know it's become almost, you know, just something to do. But honey, from the bottom of my heart, I'd done it. My clothes certainly weren't clean as they should have been and pressed as they could have been. Everything wasn't all tidy about me, but I had walked the church. The other people that I was with, they didn't bother going. I said, I'm going. I had a desire. You see, I had just come from being backslid for 9 months, and God had, through his grace, bought me through when I could have been in an automobile wreck, when I have a nephew that begged me to run away with him, and he since then has spent 2 prison terms. One was over a year's time. The other was around a year's time. I could have been in the same boat he was in. I could look behind bars. Honey, it's not that I'm a better person. I had a mama that wouldn't give up. I had a mother that wouldn't give up in prayer. She prayed. I believe in the power of prayer. I had just come back to God, and I just wanted to spend my time before God in prayer. So I went to church this Tuesday night Bible study, and when the ushers passed the collection plate, I took the change and dropped it in and said, God, with that I'm signifying that everything I've got is in your hands. Here it is. And all of a sudden, I just had to melt before God. I dropped to my knees while they were singing. And I said, God, if you can use me, I'm begging you, God, to use me. I'm not like some other people that in order to you to get them in the ministry, you got to burn their barley fields. God, I'm giving up my barley fields. I'm burning my plow. I'm burning my bridges. Here I am, God. You're everything I want. I'm no good to this world. I'm uneducated. I don't have all the other things, but God, if you could use me, here I am. I meant it that night. I meant it with all my heart. But honey, I'm going to tell you something. When the table turns and the blessings start pouring in, and you know what it's like to be able to go and buy just about anything that you need, there's something about that closeness with God that deteriorated with me. And God today dealt with me. He said, where were you? Where were you the time that you used to spend with me? Where am I? You want me to use you. Every time you want to open the Bible, it's only for a message. It's not your daily manna. It's not the daily bread of life. You only pray when you want to hear a word from me and anoint you for a message. But I want you to bow your knee, not just for a message, not just to hear from me to anoint you, but I want you to come and give me your all. That's all I want. I believe tonight we stand asking what Isaac asked when they were to do sacrifice at Moriah. And he said, we have the wood and the fire, but where's the sacrifice? Honey, we've got the wood. We don't need more music. We've got the music and the best here in Alexandria. We've got the wood. We've got all the things that go with Pentecost. We've got the finest buildings we've ever had. We ain't never had it so good. Honey, we come a long way from brush arbors and pine needle floors and old canvas tents and storefronts, but we still had great moves of God back there. But now we've got the PVs, the Yamahas, the Steinways, the Hammers. That's all good. We've got all kinds of wood, and I still believe the fire is here, and the only one thing lacking is the people who want to know God. I beseech you by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. God is simply calling on the church tonight. Honey, for 3 weeks he's walked these aisles. He has performed miracles Sunday night. He smoked growth off of bodies instantly. He revealed people's names. He's done great and mighty things. I believe it's time we were like that one leper who come back to God and said, hey, thank you for healing me. You know, I just didn't stop. It just didn't hit me until I was going back home. You see, I just was so anxious to get back there, but it really didn't sink in that I'm actually going back home, that I don't have to live out here anymore. I'm clean. I'm clean. I just want to come back, because if you can do that for my body, what can you do for the inside of me? God, would you do something more? That man was made whole. I want to be made whole, not just healing for my body, but I want God to do something with me in this week while I'm here, the last week, until wherever I go. They will say, I feel Jesus. They'll not talk about how good of an evangelist he is, but instead they'll say, I like that young man. The greatest compliment anybody ever gave me was one night I walked on the platform and they said, I felt Jesus when you walked out. That's the greatest thing you could say. That's the best thing you could do to me, is say, I felt Jesus. They that know their God, whether it's Antichrist, pre-mid, or post-trib, it doesn't make a bit of difference to them. They that know their God shall be strong. Nothing can whip him. Nothing can whip him. You see, knowing God, be still and know that he's God. You got to learn how to know God for what he is, to follow after the Spirit. In closing, I'd like to quote just tell you a story that you probably heard. I've told the across the country. It wasn't first handed to me, but in Fort Worth, Texas, there was a terrible helicopter accident, and a man was left a vegetable as the result of the accident. And the doctors tried, but to no avail. There was no recuperation. The pastor of the church in that town, the Pentecostal church, the saints prayed and fasted, but the man never did recover, and they would put him through therapy and all kind of programming, but he just didn't rehabilitate at all. So finally, one day, as the wife of that man who faithfully visited him daily was in the room with him, and he lay there not being able to bat an eyelash, not being able to do anything. As he lay there like that, the doctor called the pastor into his office and said, if I had a gun, I would shoot him. The pastor said, why? He said, I'm going to show you why. I don't know the medical procedures and everything that they've done, but they hooked some kind of wires to his skull to register biofeedback or whatever. And the doctor had told the wife to leave at a certain time, and she agreed to. When she went to leave, she walked by the corpse on the bed, the vegetable, the man that used to wrap his arms around her and love her and show her all kinds of affection. When she went to walk by, she said, goodbye, honey, I love you. The needle on the machine went all the way over, as far as it could, and then it went back again. And the doctor said, that's why. He said, the man is just as smart as he ever was. He loves his wife more than he ever did, but the fact is, he's in prison to his own body. He's laying there loving his wife. He wants to wrap his arms around her, but the brain, the computer center of your body, he said, there's nothing wrong with it. The head is perfect. The head is not damaged. But he said, the nerves which travel through this network called your spine has been severed because of a severe whiplash. And he said, the head is telling the body what to do, but the body can't hear because the connection is cut off. Through the years of programs and ideas and trying to do our best,
we have missed the real thing, and that is a sensitivity to God. You see, the head, there's nothing wrong with the head of this church. He's still in Canada, brings the snow down in wintertime, the virgin snow, and not two flakes alike. Down here, he still paints the grass green. Today, he caused the sun to shine and the rain to hold back. He does a perfectly good job. As a matter of fact, everything he does a good job at doing. And we have blamed him. The problem is not with the head. The problem is the head is imprisoned to a body. You see, that relies on programs and ideas, but they don't know how to talk to the head and say, hey, what are you saying? David, in Chronicles, in one chapter, asked three times, how are the mighty fallen? He asked that three times in one chapter. One day, the kings went out to battle, but David, something happened to him. One time he was so anxious to do battle, when anybody was blaspheming his God, when his own brothers didn't have the guts to go and Saul didn't, he said, hey, I don't need your armor to help me take a sling and five stones. God has already delivered me to me from the bear and the lion. I'm going to whip up on him. Something happened to him. And then the Lord created within their clean heart, renew within their right spirit. Man after God's own heart. Absalom, how many died in your stead? This day, when the kings went up to battle, he had ascended to such a position where he could afford to be lazy. He gave the devil the right opportunity. That's all the devil needs to see. The devil has had 6,000 years practice destroying man. He's a professional at it. He doesn't mind stalking you because time means nothing for him. As long as he knows he can hang your head in hell at the end of it, it doesn't matter how long it takes and how much he's going to pay. He'll wait to be patient. David lay there and looked at his window, and there was Bathsheba. He called her over after the moment of pleasure was over with, and he sent her home. He said, I've answered my own question. How are the mighty fallen? After seeing what God, a little bit of what God can do through my life that is really not totally dedicated by no means, no stretch of the imagination, I would sure hate. I have asked several times how to have some people that I looked up to, honey, they were almost deity to me. I could tell you of a church right tonight, not too far from here, that used to run almost 2,000. We're reaching the four corners of the earth. A global ministry of evangelism. Man of God that I just love, man. All wanted to be like him. Somewhere along the line, he gave the devil one moment and I messed him up. And I said, how did that? I'd sure hate to answer that question someday. I want to know God. If we don't be careful in this revival of spiritual gifts in operation every night, we can get our eyes on that gift so much that we forget about the giver. You know what? We can see so many miracles in these 3 weeks that we just begin to take it for granted, like I take the ministry for granted. I do. Yes, I do. I take it for granted. You see, what happened to me was getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning, going and catching a plane, flying in just in time to go slip a suit on and run behind a pulpit. I've done that a few times. Meditated a little bit there on the plane, jumped up and God anointed me greatly, had great miracles happen. But that had an effect on me where I could get by with so little prayer. It didn't take a whole lot, I'm telling you. I could goof off all day and then just hit the knees, warm up something that I preached before, and then just jump up. Only one reason why I made it to Alexandria to preach to after 8 years of ministry, because God called on someone to pray for me. I've walked the edge. I've been there. I really feel like God has allowed it this night for the sober feeling that we've got here. God does want to use you. God does want to raise up a church who operates in gifts. He does. But I just want to make sure you get your motive right before you ask God for gifts. And you know what this thing's all about. was at a meeting a while ago at Brother Kellner Gruder's in Missouri, and God was just turning the place upside down. It was wall to wall, friend. It was happening. And a young preacher ran up and said, "I want what you've got." I said, "You better count the cost. You don't know what this is all about. You just see one side of it. You just see me up here. You don't understand the times I put my neck on the chopping block. You don't understand the times I've walked by preachers and seen them in a click talking and speaking my name. You don't understand what that's all about. And how to... It's been a lonely road." And I said, "If you ask God for this gift of knowledge to tell people their name and where they're suffering, you make sure you know what you're asking. And you make sure, too, that your motive is right." When Saul was small in his eyes, but one day he got big in his own eyes. Jack Cole, who filled that tent so many times in Long Island, New York, had about 50,000 people with the tent in the grounds packed with people, and a whole section roped off for invalids. As fast as he could rip them out of the wheelchair, they were walking. The dead were raised. They bought ambulance after ambulance to that revival. Not one ambulance did not go back empty. But you know what he said? He said, "God may have to take Jack off." Oh, when I said that, I just got the hairs of my neck stand up. He said, "God may have to take Jack Cole because I've gotten too big for myself. They let my own God. There's no reason why you have to get puffed up and go all out of proportion." I'm going to tell you what. You have got to make sure you've got a strong foundation and your roots stand good before you get your wings. You've got to earn your wings. I'm going to tell you why. Because when you go into a meeting, should there be an event or should there be a young man that would raise up and do this? Or maybe you just do it individually, but the opportunity will present itself to you. Should there be a time when you have an explosive meeting with the spiritual gifts operating and you draw a crowd? There will be all kinds of opportunities and many nights when the crowd will gather to see you do it. And when God's not... But you're going to try to make it happen. And then when it doesn't happen, you've got to pretend it happened. And you know all the time it didn't happen. If I was a singer, I'd sing probably that song, "Take Me Back," whatever. God is going to do a miracle here. But before we pray for that one miracle, there's only one thing been revealed to me this whole day. But before I pray, why don't we just stand on our feet, you that desire to know God. Thank you for your attendance. Thank you. Thank you very much. How many would like to go back yet to Calvary? You see, we're wanting another Pentecost. But you know the reason why Pentecost happened? No sacrifice, no fire. It'd be foolish for God to throw fire down on barren altar. The reason why that fire fell on Acts chapter 2 is because we find Jesus being a lamb. The altar was a cross. When he died, the fire fell over here on Pentecost. In order for there to be another Pentecost, someone's going to die. Revivals like you have had did not come easy. That's the results of years and years of prayer. That's the results of agonizing, gut-wrenching prayer. Not from me, because I'm not going to be a liar and say it was from me. I've just been the electrician here. I just come in and found your receptacle and plugged in and felt your current. I have felt the anointing from the congregation. I'm telling you, I have. I have felt the anointing from the congregation as well as God. Your spirit's been so high that it's just filled the atmosphere. And when God and that gets together, anything can happen, and it has happened. But I sure want to keep this on an even keel. Do you feel that God has talked to you? Do you feel that tug in your spirit? Then while they sing it, why don't you just kind of slip your hands up to God and let's just wait upon for a moment.
Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you. Take me back.
Why don't you do the same thing? Yeah, you're right, it's going to cost you. you something to do it, but I've done it. Would you do it now?
Take me back.
Take me back, Jesus. Just pull back the miracles for a moment. Pull back the gifts and take me back to what it's all about.
Sing it the next time. You don't need a fancy altar call, you, because hey, I can't do that anyhow. There is just one person I want to pray for. On the way here today, the Lord showed me a lady who was having severe problems with her leg, and I saw a blood clot in it. If you will come over and stand over here, I will pray for you tonight, and God will instantly heal you. But that's all I'm going to call out. I'm sorry if you're disappointed. Well, wait till tomorrow night. We'll see what God's going to do. And I know I'm trying to build a crowd for tomorrow night, too. But if God can't do it, I'm not going to be so foolish to try. And if the gifts aren't operating, I'm not going to try to make them operate. But if that lady would come over here, she'll be healed. And hey, if you're hungry for Jesus, if you want to answer the call, if the deep is calling to the deep, if there's an inner tug, I turn the service back in the pastor's hands, I'm through. I just sure don't feel like God's through. But we've got wood and we've got fire, but is there a sacrifice in this place tonight?
I think everybody in this building needs to find an altar tonight. This evangelist has preached to us, folks. I don't want any of our church members walking out of here, and I just don't want you kneeling between the pews. I'm asking you to get out of the aisle and come pray somewhere. I want our ushers. I want you to tell all the ushers to come in. I want everybody to come down to this altar tonight. This man's unburdened his soul to us tonight. I want you to get everybody out of the foyer. I want everybody to come pray tonight. I want us to lay on our face before God. I want you to go back to Calvary tonight. That's it. Just kneel there in the aisles now. I want us to go back to Calvary tonight. I want us to go back to the foot of Calvary. Everybody come in out of the foyers. Come out of the hallway. I want everybody to come in and kneel down somewhere. To the place everybody on their face tonight. Come on, young married couples, open up your hearts. Let's see what will happen if we'll consecrate to God tonight. See what will happen if we'll consecrate to God tonight. Thank you.
up and hug the Lord's neck tonight. Oh, yeah.
Play games with you, Jesus. I really want to. I really want to know you, Lord. I really want to know you. I want everybody to lay everything on the altar tonight. I want everybody to clean their hearts out tonight. Man has ministered to us. I want everybody to know the Lord. I don't want you to depend on your pastors or on your Bible study group leader. I want you just to reach up and get introduced to Jesus. I want everybody to get introduced to Jesus afresh and new right now. I don't want any moving around except for our visitors. I just want our church to meditate on the Lord. It's not but 8:20, and I don't want you to get in a hurry right now. I just want us to meditate on the Lord, and I want God to touch us. And I want you to hug the Lord, and I want you to kiss the Lord. I want you to pull the Lord close to you, and I want Him to pull you close to Him. I want you to fall in love with Him, and I want you to make some new vows and make some new commitments.
In the Lord tonight.
Where did the one?
wouldn't take nothing for this service tonight. To me, this has been the greatest service of the revival. This has been the service we've been needing in the revival. This is what's going to bring miracles here tomorrow night. This is what's going to bring a new joy. Bring back the new, Lord. Let me feel like I felt the night I got the Holy Ghost when I leave here. Let me feel like I'm here. back anew again, Lord.
I want to be
you. I want to see you again, oh Lord.
Yes, bring back the way.
Yes.
breath of
God.
Everybody, I think we ought to stand and give the Lord praise for the anointing that's rest in this place. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Just like we had a few Wednesday nights ago, Sunday nights ago, we're sure close to the foot of the cross right now. I feel His presence. And the Lord has spoken. I don't believe He has anything else to say to us tonight except individually. I think He ought to talk to you on the way home. Let me say one thing to you. Miss work. Miss paycheck, miss seeing family and friends, but don't miss tomorrow night's service. So let me tell you, invariably, when people put up a sacrifice like this, I saw it when I evangelized, I have seen it since I pastored you. When people put up a sacrifice, when you walk in this building tomorrow night, you expect God to be all over this place. He may preach tomorrow night, or He may not preach tomorrow night. He did enough preaching to us tonight to last us for a while. Thank you, Brother Buster. This is our kind of preaching. This is what Alexandria loves. We love it when you can call our name and give us our social security number, but the greatest thing about preaching is get me someone that can get me to the foot of the cross. Give me somebody that can lead me to knowing Jesus. Get me somebody that can get me to the Lord. Boy lives it. He prays it. On us. That's what God wants. Give birth to something right now. Give birth to the salvation of your son right now. Give birth to the salvation of your daughter right now. Give birth to the salvation of your husband right now. Give birth to the salvation of your parents right now. Let travail break. Give birth to your children. Give birth to revival. Give birth to miracles. Oh, cry out from the depths of your soul. What God wanted to hear from us tonight. That's what God wanted to hear from us tonight. Oh! Oh!
to something. You're giving birth to a miracle tomorrow night. You're giving birth to salvation in your family. You're giving birth to revival. You're giving birth. That's it, Mike. Cry out to the Lord back there. You're giving birth to something. Give birth to something. Give birth to something. Give birth to something. Give birth to something. That's it, Joe. Give birth to something. That's it, just say, Bear, give birth to something over there. Give birth to something over there. Oh, God. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is what this church has been praying for here. This is what we've been travailing for. This is what we've been reaching after. This is what we've been longing for. Closeness with God. That individual relationship with the Lord. Not knowing Him through a preacher, not knowing Him through a church, but knowing Him for yourself. Knowing Jesus on a first name basis for yourself. Delilah, let Him bless you. Oh, Ralph, let Him bless you. Did Paul, let Him bless you, let Him bless you, let Him bless you. Oh, yeah. 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 Oh, yeah, la Maya. Need somebody to take 9 to midnight. 9 to midnight tonight. Who'll take that? 9 to midnight tonight. Quickly, I got people praying. Wave your hand like this. Like that. 9 to midnight. Curtis. 12 to 3 tomorrow afternoon. 12 to 3 tomorrow afternoon. Who'll take that? Sister Betty. Listen to me, church. We're not dismissing this service tonight. You just leave when you need to. God bless you. This service will not be dismissed. We'll just carry on tomorrow night. I need our baptistry people up there. Got two people that already said, come and please baptize me. Isn't that great? I need our baptismal people. Don't anybody leave unless you want to. This service isn't dismissed.